Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 155 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you as close as you possibly can be to meet the people that make theater happen. Just a quick reminder that you can download and subscribe to the podcast from the Apple Podcast app or from iTunes. That way your feed will automatically be updated when we release episodes, but you can also listen to us on many other fine streaming services such as Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all those kind of places. Please rate and review our podcast if you have a spare 30 seconds and help us reach more theater lovers out there around the globe. And now for today's episode. We normally don't do a weekend episode, but I wanted to chat to today's guests before their offering hit the interwebs early next week. I am down with the kids. Today we are chatting with another set of podcasters, which is always a fun thing to do, especially when they're like this episode's guests. Tamara Von Werthen, Lily McLeish, and Josephine Start are the podcast equivalent of the Three Musketeers, bringing justice and equality to the world of online audio theatrical drama. The Fizzy Sherbert podcast is an extension of an idea that brought together the brightest female writing, directing, and acting talent to the Hackney Attic. And when COVID-19 hit, they needed to make sure that that momentum wasn't lost. So they packed up their collective trunks and headed online. Now, the 5th of October sees the final play in their pilot season air, written by Josephine and directed by a mutual friend of ours, Hannah Berrigan. But I wanted to find out where the idea had come from for the series and the podcast, and where this dynamic trio sees their project heading into the future. Have a listen. I might have to say y'all, because there's more than us. There's so many of you. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So if I get y'all to tell me your names, mm-hmm. and who you are in regards to the Fizzy Sherbert podcast and what you kind of do in, not in your everyday job, but in creatively with, yes, the Fizzy Sherbert podcast. And then we'll go back and talk about what you're doing now and in the present. But just, I want people to hear your voices so they know who's talking. Sure. So why don't we start with Josephine, and then we'll do Lily and then Tamara.
Sure, absolutely. Okay, so hello. I'm Josephine Start is my full name. And I am one of the co-hosts of the Fizzy Sherbert podcast. There's three of us. And I represent, I suppose, acting and writing. That's what I do. I'm a writer and an actor. And the nice thing is that we all do slightly different things in our professional lives as hosts. So, yeah, that's what I bring to the table.
I'm Lily McLeish. I am also one of the co-hosts of Fizzy Sherbert and one of the founders of Fizzy Sherbert. And what I also do normally is I am a theatre director, obviously in lockdown, focusing very much on digital projects, but normally I work in theatre buildings.
Oh, remember that?
The good old days. Yeah, I am Tamara von Werthen. I'm a German-British playwright, and I'm the co-founder of Fizzy Sherbert podcast and also a co-host. So that's the three of us. I do a little bit of producing for it as well.
Why don't we go back to the start of Fizzy, mm-hmm. Sherbert? You know, you guys have started quite recently, actually.
Yeah.
It looks like. So give me a little background on the Fizzy Sherbert, which is a great name for a podcast, by the way. I love it.
Thank you.
And give me a little background on it. And what was the genesis and the real kind of oomph behind it, the real drive behind wanting to do something?
Yeah, I think I'd best pick up that question because it was my idea initially. had a really urgent need to do something after the election in 2016 that we all remember very well, where I just felt very frustrated that there was a man in a position of power who was quite publicly talking down to women. And I felt I wanted to amplify women's voices in some way. So Lily and I got together and we started as a very small series of play readings at the Hackney Attic in London. So we kind of did a big shout out and asked for short plays written by women from anywhere in the world in English to be sent to us. We got quite a lot. I think there was one submission window, we got 300 scripts sent to us and read them all. And because of the shout out being sort of from all over the world, we also got a really big interest from all over the world. So on the mm-hmm. Facebook page, you could sort of track the stats, and it would say, oh, yeah, we had like 45 countries that were looking at us mm-hmm. and sort of following us. But then, of course, we could only get a very limited amount of those people into the studio theatre in Hackney, which was always full, actually, which was really lovely. So there was a real buzz around it at the time. But I think I'm going to hand over to Lily how the podcast came to life, because that was your idea, really, Lily, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we had a successful run in 2017 with the readings at Hackney Attic, and then I suppose life took over and other projects slightly just took over. And then when lockdown happened, and we all just sort of I think a lot of artists and, you know, colleagues, we all went into a bit of a hibernation period of going, well, let's just sort of wait it out and see what happens. And then it looked like it was going to be a longer waiting period. And at that point, I thought, oh, this is just a bit depressing. And and I was on the phone to Tamara about another play of hers that we were working on. And we were saying, you know, when the theatres reopen, we will then pitch this play to these theatres. And I suddenly said to her, I just feel like we should be doing something now. Is there something, and can we bring Fizzy Sherbet back? Can we bring it back as a digital platform? Can we, you know, make it as a live Zoom event or potentially even? And then the idea sort of started to emerge that we could do it as a podcast, a theatre podcast.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the beginnings of that discussion, really. And we created a website for Fizzy Sherbet, and which sort of gives a platform to the writers who were also at the Hackney Attic event in 2017. And and for the actors as well who were involved in that.
And I guess I'm just going to jump on the back. And after that,
here comes the Aristotelian three-act structure.
Yes. So there we have. Yes. And then, little twist, I arrived. Lily, I think it was Lily, reached out to me. I'd worked with Tamara and Lily together and separately on a bunch of different projects before. So we know each other, I guess, creatively. We collaborated a lot before anyway. So in a way, I guess maybe that's why she reached out, as there's a group of us. It's not so with the three hosts, there's actually about, there's a small group of us that put these things together. Seven of us.
That's great.
There are seven of us, and I was part of the seven. And I think when we were discussing what we knew it would be digital, we wanted it to be digital, we wanted it to be plays. But I suppose what I brought at that point was the idea of, because I listen to a lot of podcasts for one thing, I was like, I feel quite steeped in podcasts, and also in, so the idea of adding interviews, with the writers, but also with these kind of follow-up interviews with special guests that might speak to either a quality of the writers or something within the play themselves, subject matter wise. So we've had this incredible breadth of speakers. We've had psychoanalysts and scientists and political activists, and just an incredible range. And I guess that was something that I was just personally interested in doing, because I mean partly just because I love to chat and I thought that's something I would enjoy, and I also I think like I really like I really enjoy theatre. I enjoy going to the theatre and, you know, and film and all the rest of it. But sometimes I don't always love just talking only about theatre, or it can feel a little bit like circular sometimes. I was like, is there a way that we can broaden this out and connect it to the world a bit more when we're all feeling so hemmed into our houses and our small worlds already? And and interviewing is something that I had a bit of experience in because I make a lot of the Basin Theatre as an associate to Christine Landon Smith, and also on my own, so which involves a lot of going into communities and interviewing people. So that's something that I thought we could add.
Yeah, and I think that with the interviews and also just generally with the collaboration, what happened at the Hackney Attic was that we were able to receive plays from playwrights from different countries. But actually with the podcast, what we found was something that I hadn't really anticipated before was the conversations that we'd be able to have and the collaborations we'd be able to sort of create through just simply, I mean, we use software Zoom.
Yeah.
it felt like we could connect to different artists and different people in different countries. So we've been talking to artists in South Africa and people in Denmark and in Germany and in various different countries. And it's been just a real pleasure to be able to do that and connect like that. And something that I don't think we would ever have done had we just made shirt, you know, these as, continue to do them as readings in the theatre.
It's a crazy moment in time when a product and service that was meant for corporate boardrooms has become a contemporary vernacular for artists to use. Like, it's Zoom has become, oh, we're doing a Zoom play. I mean, honestly, this did not exist 5 months ago, six months ago.
Yeah.
This sort of play, the Zoom experience, or if it's StreamYard or Zoom or Google Meets or Teams, whatever it is, how important that is now in the process of new writing, because I don't think it's going away. I think Zoom is going to stick around while people develop plays. But what do you think is going to happen? Because you guys are actually proving that there is something you can do with it to create and to develop new work. How important is it that it carries on?
I think one thing I hope happens, I don't know if it will, but I think I hope it does, is that I think it makes the idea of collaboration feel very obvious and very easy, and not just feel obvious, but actually kind of, it is, you know, like it makes no difference whether you're talking to someone very important and very, you know, in a position of great power, or just anyone, you know, any artist who may have been unemployed for months, years, who knows, you know, like you're talking to them from your living room anyway, and we all have kind of roughly the same amount of time and roughly the same amount of access at the moment. So I think it's potentially quite a democratizing thing in terms of who it should mean that venues anyway don't have the excuse maybe anymore of not being able to speak to so many people or reach out to people, because everyone's reaching out. You know, you've got actors who are running their own, they've just completely off their own bat, just been like, I'm going to run a writing workshop every week from my living room and come if you want. And it's just like, this is amazing. This, like, there are some really tough things about the lockdown and, you know, the state of the world, like really, really fucking horrible tough things. But I think, in terms of the power to reach out to people, the excuses for not doing that are depleting, I think. Mm.
Yeah.
I think it's also, it's a really interesting platform. And as we get to know it more and can be a bit playful with it, we can also find ways in which we can create intimacy through this medium. And we can have sort of exploit the slight voyeuristic element as well. Like, you're actually looking through the screen into someone else's life. So I think there's a lot of really interesting things about it. But I mean, purely in terms of preparing for performance or working together and making international collaborations, I think it's so amazing, especially at the moment we're so close to, you know, Brexit and being sort of isolated here, and to know that as artists we can still foster those connections with artists from other cultures, from other countries. And for us, the difficulties of, you know, getting then potentially a visa to go out to work with someone, they are a little bit softened by the fact that we can just do it over Zoom. And we have literally the seven core team, which are two producers, two directors, a dramaturg, a writer, actor, and a writer. And we're in three different countries. So we've been having meetings in three different countries. But on Zoom. And that's
Collaborating with a sound designer who is actually currently in Australia.
So five countries.
I think it has proven that international collaboration is actually possible even without having to fly to those places.
Yeah,
which has been a really joyful thing to do, especially because I moved to Germany just, you know, a couple of months before the whole pandemic sort of hit and we all went into lockdown, which was interesting. And so it's been possible to still collaborate with all my UK-based, collaborators and colleagues, which has been really brilliant.
Now we're going to take a short break for a word from our sponsors.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.
Welcome back to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast and today's guests, the Fizzy Sherbert Podcast. Tamara, I think you make a very valid point in that there's no longer going to be an excuse from producers to... they're going to save a lot of money on wine and cheese when it comes to readings, because you don't need to fly everybody into a reading anymore. Just tell them to brew some coffee, fire up the computer, and sit down, and then feel lighter, because there isn't any pressure to get the most out of this reading, because we've spent £50,000 getting everybody in the same room.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool. Why don't we talk about the process of collaborating? I know you talked about in different countries. You've managed to get kind of a collective of women writers and directors and creative talent. And how do you rein it all in and produce something that is still a very new, outside of BBC radio drama, that is kind of a new pioneering Wild West sort of kind of landscape?
Yeah, I guess there was something in the sort of the seed of how we started, was that we presented the plays as readings, and it was very much about the work of the writer, and we got really good actors in, and we did Lily was directing all the pieces, so she's a great director, especially on text, and so we really sort of made those pieces shine.
Yep.
And then we felt, hang on, we can do this. I mean, this is like the perfect medium for it, because you have it in your ears. We can also pull in really amazing sound designers, make the whole piece really enjoyable to listen to. And then we have all this added material where we can really talk about things that come out of the piece or how the piece was made, and then to kind of go contextually just deeper into the subject matter with some kind of expert in the field, and it just seemed to be the right way forward, and sort of so obviously the logical next step that we were surprised that it took a lockdown to make us realize that's what we should have done probably from the beginning.
But I think it was also about embracing this form of the podcast as theatre makers, going, okay, we want to make audio plays, but actually we're putting it on a podcast. So we also need to embrace, you know, what can the form of podcast offer and what can we offer the form of podcast, and how do we sort of merge those two worlds? And that was quite a newbie to podcasts, I must admit, was really... really interesting and fun, and the curation of choosing writers from different countries, and then really thinking very thoughtfully about, who those second conversations could be with, whether that's an academic or exactly a psychotherapist or a dramaturg or an artist who just has worked with that writer before. And that was really joyful, very ambitious, and to produce very very time consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we have sort of all three of us completely thrown ourselves into it. And it's been, this is now on Monday, the 7th episode, which is the last play of the pilot series, is going to air. And we have just been living and breathing fizzy sherbet the last 7 weeks. I think all three of us have.
Take me through that. You know, what was the first series? What were you looking for? And what was important to you guys to make sure that came across in a podcast series, but also not just about a podcast series, but make sure it came across in the drama, in the play, in the stories that you wanted to tell?
A leading thing was that it would feel genuinely international. I think that was very important from the start. So thinking about where we could go with our own networks and where we could kind of push a little beyond our own networks in terms of who we could connect to, who could speak to experiences outside of, you know, just the UK or just a kind of quintessentially British experience or whatever that might be. And I suppose, I mean, there's a bit of a tension with anything new that you make in the arts, where, you know, you want to be as ambitious as possible, and your heart is in the right place. You want it to be international, and you want it to be, you know, reflect the kind of global realities of where we are. But for this pilot season, it was a question of, like I say, like thinking, okay, who do we know, or who can we feasibly and respectfully ask, who will see this as kind of an artistic challenge that they want to engage with, for, you know, in itself, and, you know, and it's not gonna put them in a difficult position financially. Yeah. You know, all this, like, because these are real considerations whenever you make something, and that's always a tension. The hope is that with the second, you know, with as we go along, we want to be able to pay people for their time and all that kind of thing. But I suppose so it was the idea that it would be international was very, very important, and then doing that ethically, I think, was the next step. But we also just were lucky, I think, with the plays that came forward. They were so diverse and so rich and wonderful, and it's a testament to the people involved that everyone knew someone or could kind of introduce someone who was just a brilliant artist.
I think that you know, moving forward as well, there is no, we are very clear that there is no story that we're really looking for specifically at all. It's very much that we're interested in seeing what and in hearing and reading what writers are writing about right now. And I think what we found at the Hackney when we did it a couple of years ago is just the breadth of the stories. If you don't have, I think a lot of sort of new writing events sometimes give like a topic, and we very specifically didn't want to do that because, yeah, it just felt actually we just want to be very free of that. Also because from our point of view, like, we're straddling the UK, Germany and Australia, you know, we don't know what, we can't, from just from the three of our perspectives, can't be, or, you know, the seven of our perspectives can't, I don't think topics is a good idea.
Yeah, and I think it's really about creating a platform or a stage or giving a microphone to women so that we can hear their voices and to be surprised by those voices as well. I think one of the feedbacks we got from the Hackney Attic sessions from a man was that in the audience that they were really surprised at that it was not what they had expected at all, and it was so so diverse and varied, the stories that were being told, and he had sort of expected there to be some kind of female slant to them, which there wasn't, and why should there be? I mean, it's kind of a bit of a preconception, maybe, and I think we want to go against that. We have, and I think it speaks to the to the power of the plays that we have got in the pilot series, and a little bit also in going forward, yeah. what we're looking for, that then the special guests are so varied. And because there's we were talking with a woman from Police Spies Out of Lives in connection with a play by Eve Lee, White Tuesday, which is about undercover policing. We were talking with an environmental scientist about jellyfish blooms. We were talking about a historian about Jews settling in New York to do with Amy Eng's play Special Occasions. So there's a huge breadth of topics and of interests and just of stories. And I think that's really what we want to do. We want to kind of open up this box and have all these stories come out and be really inspiring with them.
And I think the other thing is, like, that's possibly one of the benefits of this being extremely artist-led as a project. Like, none of us, I don't think even the producer, like, we don't work in theatres. Like, we, you know, we're freelance artists. And so we're kind of aware, I think, of what it is to be a writer or a director trying to work within the constraints of call-outs or of, you know, programmes and that type of thing. And for us anyway, I mean, maybe not everyone does feel this way, but it can feel like, it can just feel like unnecessarily constricting or patronizing or just a bit strange sometimes, that there's this funneling that you have to do to kind of fit within this very specific kind of set of ideas for one particular night at one particular venue. And like, and actually we're artists and we know what artists are like and how they work and how they will, the best thing you can do is just be like, we trust that you're passionate about something. We trust that you've got something up your sleeve. Like, show us the thing that you love and we'll love it. Like, it doesn't have to be about, you know, your experience as a migrant or your experience as whatever. Like, it can be like, give us the thing that you love and we'll work with that.
I think what I find with most of the pieces we choose is that there's something personal and something political about them. And it's usually really enmeshed, so you can't really tell one from the other.
Josephine, you were here. Hannah Berrigan kind of reached out and said that she needed a play recorded, and it was you. And I was like, oh God, of course, this is great. Come and record at the house. So we went into the Garden Studio, and it's the final play, is it?
Of this series, yeah. So
and so, give us a little bit of background to it, and I found it brilliant. I was like just laughing when you were recording. I had to kind of look away. There were bits and pieces where I just went, oh God, we're gonna have to record it again. And I still had a little chuckle to myself.
Let us know
the premise, because it's a great I think it's a great piece.
Thank you so much, John. Yeah, and thanks also. So John, he's being very humble, but John let me and the director of Hornet, who's called Hannah Berrigan, come and use his wonderful garden studio in South London, because John is also a voiceover artist and fantastic. So he had all this incredible kit that we were able to use, which was just a blessing. It was wonderful. Yes, and so the play is called Hornet, and it spends time in the mind of a young woman who's come back to London, and she's sitting in a gallery charging her phone secretly because she needs to charge her phone and she can't afford to go anywhere
else.
We've all been there. and she it basically spends time in her mind as she contemplates this relationship that she was in with an older artist when she used to live in London, in the city. And it's her attempting to kind of resolve or kind of package up what this relationship was, because it was a very confusing relationship for her and quite dark. And so I'm glad you said you were laughing, John, because it's pretty bloody bleak, actually. But it's
says a lot about my sense of humor.
But it is, you know, I mean, I write comedies, but I write dark comedies. I mean, I write all sorts. But this, yeah, it treads that line. So it's a short play, and it's technically part of a triptych that I wrote, which is all about people's relationships to art and to each other and some of the darkness underneath that. Yeah, so that's what it's about. And it's followed by an incredible interview. It was with a psychotherapist called Kate Mills, because the piece explores I think it explores questions around coercive behavior and abuse and when a relationship feels a bit grey in that way and confusion around leaving a relationship. So there's lots of things in it where we felt like this is something where it would be fascinating to get the insight of someone who works in this area all the time with people. And Kate was fantastic for that because she is an ex-actor. She trained as an actor and then she moved into working as a psychotherapist and she specializes in trauma as well. So that's going to be a really amazing follow-up interview afterwards.
Yeah, she was really fantastically articulate, and she really spoke very well about your play, I thought, and was really incredibly interesting to talk to.
Yeah.
What would you guys like to see happen in a second series? Is there going to be a second series? I'm being massively presumptuous here, but what would you like to happen in a second series?
Oh, well, there's definitely going to be a second one and a third and a fourth, I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can have like a proper long-term project that we just like make and it doesn't, you know, well, it might have an end one day, but like not in the foreseeable future.
We're going to our graves doing this.
I'm 38 years old. See you on the, you know, this will be 50th my interview, you guys. I'll put my teeth in.
It does feel very much like we're just starting with this. So the pilot series is really a teaser or a taster of what we want to do, what we could do with this. And we're really excited about, getting submissions in. Our audience is growing quite a lot. We can watch that, which is really satisfying. And our reach is as well. So the different countries.
We're really into stats at the moment and we absolutely love seeing all these new countries. We've got lots of listeners from different countries and it's just fun when we spot a new country joining our listening pool, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, we hope to really reach out and get plays sent in from lots of different countries and to then just curate like a really interesting second series and then do that, and then after that just keep going.
We're obviously very excited about the, you know, what plays are going to come in, and obviously it, we want it to get even more global and all those things, and we want it to, you know, we want it to become properly supportive of everyone involved as well. I mean, that's the dream, but I suppose it is also an archive. That's what we want it to be. We want it to be somewhere where if you are a director, if you are a writer, and you're just curious to find some new voices or some new kind of styles or perspectives, you can go and you can find these women and become aware of their work through something like really accessible, like a short play. It's not going to take you very long. And you can contact them then, you know, like you're aware of this other person who's out there, who is up for collaborating potentially. We would love that to come from it as well.
Yeah, I think the archive was a really big conversation point between all of us, because some of us, for instance, our dramaturg who lives in Denmark, she's often looking for new plays also from different countries, and I know that dramaturgs in Germany also are really interested in new plays coming from the UK, for instance, or just generally from new writing. And I think that the sort of making these voices really easily accessible felt like a really important thing to do, because I think often it's so easy to say, oh, well, we just don't know anyone, or, you know, how do we find these writers? And so I think it was very much about going, well, here they are, and here is a platform where you can find them, and they do exist, and they are all brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have to as well, like, I think, because I'm like just as guilty of this, and I like to read, but like sometimes it can feel a bit oppressive to be like, oh, I've got to read all these plays, you know, like just to find something new. Whereas like listening to something, I think you can, you know, you can do it while you're doing something else. So it feels that, I mean, that's the joy of a podcast in general, isn't it? You can just, it just goes along with the rest of your life, and that's part of the pleasure of it. So yeah, we're making it as easy as possible for people to discover amazing work.
Yeah, and I think on the flip side as well, for all the writers and directors involved with the podcast, what they get out of it, of course, is a showcase piece. So they can then send that to people who they would want to work with and say, here's an example of my work. And you don't have to come to the theater to see it, or you don't have to read it.
Fantastic. Okay. How do people get in touch with you? This is an easy one.
Well, we have a very gorgeous website.
Woo-hoo! Yes, indeed.
www.fizzysherbetplays.com. On Instagram and Facebook, we're just Fizzy Sherbet Plays. And on Twitter, just to be a bit perverse, we are Fizzy Sherbet Fun. So you can
nice.
Find us
anywhere. Nice.
And you can actually, if people do want to actually get in touch with us, we also have email addresses on our website, which can be found on the website and the contact page.
Well, guys, I just want anyone who feels emboldened or who just feels like they want to get in touch because they feel that they've been inspired to create, or support, because I think support is vitally important as well, to get in touch with you, to follow, to rate and review the podcast, because the algorithms mean the more 5-star reviews, they just push up they suggest you to more people. And I think what you guys are doing to tell the stories of women and giving the opportunities of women writers and directors and creatives and interviewees and everything else, because God knows we have enough of people like me sitting out there creating stuff. Like, I'm thankful and grateful that you guys are out there doing something as well to give voice to and opportunities to people who may otherwise not have that opportunity. And what a great time to do it.
Thank you, John. That's really lovely.
Thank you guys so much for coming on to this episode of the podcast.
Thank you, John.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, listen, it has been my pleasure, and what a giggle. And I cannot wait to hear Hornet. I really look forward to your season 2 and your season 42. So,
that's gonna
Josephine,
be real yeah,
it's going to be a zinger. It's going to be a Zimmer frame zinger.
We'll have hit our stride by then, I think.
Hello.
Oh, my Lord. Josephine, Lily, Tamara, thank you so much for joining me, and I will hopefully speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Tamara Van Werthen, Lily McLeish, and Josephine Stark from the Fizzy Sherbet Podcast. Go follow them and remember to rate and review their podcast too. Now, before I go, just a few housekeeping bits. You can follow us on all the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call. And you can follow me personally at John Schwab, JohnSchwab. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me personally at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Josephine, Tamara, and Lily. Go to their websites, go to their podcast websites, any of their websites, and I'll make sure to put them all in the show notes. Support these fantastic creatives in their effort to keep new drama alive and well, their efforts to keep underrepresented drama at the forefront of our thought in this period of lockdown. And when we come out of it, I'm sure we're going to be hearing much, much more from them. Thank you to Shure Microphones for sponsoring this episode. Thank you for listening to the Curtain Call Theater Podcast. Please stay safe, everyone. Continue to wash your hands. Reach out to someone, anyone. Ask them how they're doing. You might just make their day. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com.